Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
Our first song we're going to sing, it's an older song. It's one that I heard years ago, and the first one I heard was Rusty Goodman, and it was a great song. It's always been a very popular song to me in my heart, "Who Am I?" Oh, when I think of how you came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. Well, then I asked myself this question, who am I? That a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of these words, I'll leave you never. Just be true, I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles until they're all won. For who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Am I that he would pray, not my will thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? That to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? We want to sing you one more on the broadcast before we get into the lessons in our ministry. And it's a great song. I've been hearing it for years and years. It's entitled "The Answer's on the Way." It's just a great song, and I know you'll enjoy it. So many times I've knelt beneath that heavy load. Well, on bending knees there to God I prayed. As I knelt there on the floor, he reminded me once more that the answer was already on the way. Oh, yes, the answer's on the way, this I know. My Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows the need before we pray. And you can rest assured the answer's on the way. Now if there's a special need within your life, my friend, and you're seeking for the answer every day, well, if by faith you'll start believing, mighty soon you'll be receiving, for the answer is already on the way. Oh, yes, the answer's on the way, 'cause I know my Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows the need before we pray, and you can rest assured the answer's on the way. Oh, yes, the answer's on the way, 'cause I know my Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows the need before we pray, and you can rest assured the answer's on the way.
Amen. And you know, we absolutely can rest assured that the answer's on the way, because he said if we'll ask, he'll answer. If we'll seek, we'll find. And if we knock, he'll open. So I believe that the answer is on the way. We decided that we would start talking about how to fulfill our divine destiny and the principles for accomplishing God's plan for your life. And last week, we began the study of this in Jeremiah 29:11, and we're reading from the New International Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And you know, I failed to give you the definition of destiny last week, but I'd like to do that this week. Destiny means something to which a person or thing is destined, or it means a predetermined course of events. And that would be the design or the goal, an intent, intention, or our objectives. So last week we talked about the fact that we all have a divine destiny. When God created you in your mother's womb, he created you with a divine destiny, a divine plan, a divine objective for your life. And we found that through faith in God that we can change the destiny that Satan would desire for us to have. So what choices did we find out we had last week?
We have the choices of complacency or to fulfill our divine destiny. You see, Pam, every day we face those two choices. Everybody faces them. We talked about. First, we talked about Bartimaeus. The two choices he had to make was whether I'm going to receive my sight or I'm going to stay blind. The second one we talked about was the 10 lepers. They had to make a choice. They could either receive their healing or be an outcast to the city. The third one we talked about was Jairus' daughter, whether he was going to believe or his daughter was going to die. And then we talked about the lady with the issue of blood, for she had a choice to make. And the choice she made was, I'm going to touch Jesus. For if she touched Jesus, she would not remain sick.
And in each one of these instances, we find that they made the right choices, that they chose to follow their divine destiny, and they had miracles take place in their life. So even as we looked at those examples, we could ask ourselves this question: are we going to choose to stay in the situations and circumstances of life that we're already in and have always been in? Are we going to choose to use our faith, and are we going to move in the direction that God has for each one of us? And you know, if we make that choice, I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, it's going to take the good fight of faith. It says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And you know, we also need to know that it's by faith and patience that we inherit the kingdom of God. Faith and patience.
See, Hebrews 6:12 says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You must earnestly desire patience to operate inside you,
Some folks say, oh, don't pray for patience. You know, tribulations work with patience. And if you pray for patience, you're going to get tribulations. But guess what? You don't have to pray for patience. It is like a muscle. You can't see it, but it is there. And if you don't use a muscle, it's going to become inactive. It's going to become weak and ineffective and inoperative. Then when you begin to use it again, it's going to be sore. But the more you use the muscle, the stronger it will get. And soon the muscle is going to work effectively. So it is when the muscle called patience begin to use it, and it begins to grow, and it'll become strong and stronger. Hebrews 10 and 35 through 36 in the Amplified Bible says, do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence, faith, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away, and enjoy to the full what is promised. You know, Pam, the lack of patience is one of the major causes of failure in the body of Christ. The devil comes around and he tricks people into not believing God, causing them to lose their faith by giving up.
Yeah, you know, you're right, Raymond. And what you just talked about there is so many times people are afraid of patience because they're afraid that it will bring tribulations. But the devil is the one that brings tribulations. But if we have the patience to wait upon the Lord, we know that he always makes a way of escape. So, you know, there is only one way to receive anything from God, and that is by unwavering faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And, you know, I want to be pleasing to God, so therefore I want to be sure that I use my faith. Because here it said that anyone without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And then the next part of that verse is so awesome because it says, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Amen.
In James 1:6-7, it says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. So when we ask, we have to believe and not doubt, because the two of them don't mix.
That's
because
right.
He who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And if you'll think back to when all the storms were down on the coast and the tsunami that was over in Sri Lanka, you know, if you ever wanted to see something that was tossed by the wind, that was tossed by the wind. And so it's likened us to that. If we don't have faith, if we doubt, then we're like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And that's the most uncomfortable position to be in. But then it goes on to say that that man should not think that he will receive anything from God. So if we have faith, then we must act on it. And, you know, some folk get real impatient with themselves. And when we get impatient with ourselves, then we tend to lose patience with God. And then we want to just sit around waiting for God to bring it all to pass. You know, we can't just sit around and wait on God to bring it all to pass, because the key is that after we've done the will of God is when we have the need of patience. You know, the devil would like to get you to cast your confidence away, but you know what God said in Hebrews 10:35-36? It says, so do not throw away your confidence, because it will be richly rewarded. We need to persevere so that when we have done the will of God, we will receive what he has promised. You know, God's not a man that he would lie. And when he makes a promise, he will keep it. It's us that move out of the way when the answer is, you know, Ray sang the song, the answer's on the way. It's us that move. God puts the answer exactly where it's supposed to be when it's supposed to be there. But we tend to move, and therefore it misses us.
Amen.
So we need to be sure that we stay right where we're supposed to be, waiting in patience, doing what he's asked us to do. And it says, so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. So what does that mean? That means that we have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. In the Message Bible, James, the first chapter and the 22nd verse, reads like this. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear.
Amen.
You know, Ray and I raised only one son, but I've heard a lot of parents tell their kids, that just went in one ear and right out the other. And you know, I believe that our Father God feels like that sometimes. We hear the word, but it just seems like it's going in one ear and right out the other. But if we would take that word that we hear and we would begin to act on it, then we would begin to see God perform big time in our life. So what do we need to do?
First of all, we got to line up what you are doing and what you are thinking with the plumb line of God's word. And then have the confidence that God's word's true. See, you got to remember this. If you know the truth will set you free. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and discipline and understanding. W. Clement Stone said, truth will always be truth, regardless of disbelief, lack of understanding, or ignorance. Number two, you've got to use or exercise your patience by not casting away your confidence just because you don't get an instant miracle. And then you will receive whatever God has promised. Remember what it says in Hebrews 10:35-36. So do not throw away your confidence. You see, it's going to be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what He has promised. Our flesh doesn't want to live faith and patience, but we know the war between the flesh and spirit can be won.
How?
Feed on God's word, number one. You got to feed on the word of God, not just hear it, but you've got to get it in your spirit and feed on it and chew on it and digest it and feed on it till it does you real good. Number two, don't do things just because you want to do them. This is flesh, but find out what God's word says about it before you act. And number three, learn how to walk with God by doing this. A, asking God, where do you want me to go from here? B, quit trying to put your plan into action. And number three, put His plan into action and receive His best for your life.
And you know, Ray, we have to leave the past behind. You know, so many times we want to live in our past experiences. But God's got something new for us every day. You know, in the Word it tells us that His mercy is new every morning. And He's got new plans, new purposes, new paths for us to walk every day. And we have to be willing to go into those new things. It's real easy, you know. A lot of times, how many times have we heard people say, well, I just wished I was back in the good old days.
Uh-huh.
The good
right.
old days.
Sure.
And, you know, like we talked about last week, well, how many of us women would like to have a wringer washer, or how many of us
would like a scrub board.
Yeah, yeah, scrub board. Or how many of us would like to have to go back out into the cotton field and pull those old cotton balls? You know, I remember the song about the cotton balls. They used to sing about pulling the cotton. But, you know, things have advanced to where our life is simple, but time's passing swiftly. And I don't want to live in the past. I want to live in the future because God has big plans for us, and we've got to leave the past behind and go on to the future. Because in Philippians 3:13-14, it says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
You see, honey, the thing that people need to understand there, that's getting that second win. Maybe you do get knocked down every once in a while and get into your plans and things that you feel God's put in your heart. But you're not ever knocked out, you see, because Jesus fights your battles for you. He just tells you to just keep getting up. You see, it's not over till it's over. And so I'm telling you, in this year starting out, this is the year of fulfillment. So get ready.
Amen. And so as Ray was saying, you know, you might get knocked down, you might have a few failures, but the thing of it is, you may be knocked down, but you sure ain't knocked out. And, you know, the main thing is, if you get knocked down, get back up and go at it again. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about, that he did not count himself to excel, but that he chose to forget those things which were behind him. And, you know, a lot of people want to forget their failures, but sometimes we need to go on ahead after we have successes. Don't just continually just live in the successes that you've had, but go on and let God give you some new successes. In Paul's life, we find that he had the failure, if he wanted to look back, at the times when he persecuted the churches and at the time when he even encouraged the stoning of Stephen. But then again, we can look at all the successes that he had of the many, many churches that he built in the New Testament times. And we won't take time to read them all, but Paul actually led many of the philosophers in the New Testament days to the Lord. So he also started one of the largest churches in the Bible in history, and Josephus says that it was between 20 and 40,000 members. Wow, that's a big, call that a mega church, multi-mega church. And for myself, I don't think I'd want to pastor one quite that big. But he had that influence on the people of the time that he lived in. But he chose to forget everything that had happened to him in the past. Why? Because it was history, and it couldn't do anything for him now, even if it had wanted him to. So that's true even about our lives today. You know, the successes that we have, we use them to build on, and we go on. But we don't get hung up on our successes and think we have made it and there's not anything more for us to do because of our successes. And the same thing that's true about failure. When we've had failure, we don't just lay down and say, well, I can't go on anymore because I've made a failure, I've made a mistake, and, you know, I've bloated, I'm a big boo-boo, what am I going to do now? And Ray loves this word, I'm all discombobulated, so where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Oh, woe is me. No. Because, you know, all we have to do is go to Jesus and say, I've made this mistake. Please forgive me. And you know what? Like I told you a while ago, his mercies are new every morning. And at any time we call out to him, he says, my child, I see you through. The Father says, my child, I see you through the blood. You go right on with right where you're at, and I'm with you every step of the way.
You see, we got to reach forth. Reaching forth means getting involved with effort. It takes effort to reach forth. You see, the Bible says that Jesus told the little lady who had the withered hand, he said, stretch forth your hand, told the man that had the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. So he had to put forth the effort. He had to reach out. And so if you really want to go on with God, it means it's going to take work. That's spelled W-O-R-K. If you intend to eat tomorrow, if you intend to feed your family, you're going to have to put forth some effort. You're going to have to go out there. Somebody said, I can't find work. You got to get out there. If you can't do them, pick up cans or go do something. But you got to work. Reaching forth, straining, pushing, and striving. For what? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, you got to put all those things behind, the failures and all that, and look for the great present hour you're in. And when you're pressing for something, you're putting out energy and effort. You see, the devil, yes, the devil will fight you, and you're going to have to decide if you want to run back, if you want to go back and be chicken, or are you going to go forth and be an eagle? Are you going to run back to your security blanket? You going to get in your comfort zone? Are you going to get out and press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? You see, Paul had to make that decision, and he chose to forget everything that happened to him and all the things in the past, you see, because those are temporal. He was looking for the eternal. And so what we got to do tonight is to put his word, you see, when we make that decision to go with God and put his word down in our heart, there isn't any place for you to go but over the top. Amen. Hallelujah. It only takes everything you've got.
Yes, you know, that's the one thing, is Jesus gave his all, and so when we come into his kingdom to serve him, then we should be willing to give him our all. And you know, when you was talking about when we decide that whether we want to run back to the security blanket or if we want to press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you know, we heard it for years that there's no turkeys in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Eagles. That we're all eagles. You know, a turkey doesn't know how to fly.
That's right.
But an eagle knows how to soar. The eagle knows how to soar over all the storms that come, the storms that rages. You know, he tells us in Isaiah, he says that we shall run and not be weary, we shall walk and not faint, that we will have the wings of eagles, that we can fly high above that storm.
And you know, honey, I was thinking about an eagle, and I minister quite a bit about the eagles. And an eagle, he won't eat spoiled food. He won't eat old leftover food sitting around on the road.
Amen.
A buzzard, that's all he'll eat. But an eagle, he looks for the live food. He sees a rabbit running. He can spot that rabbit 1 mile off from high in the sky. And he's going after that live meat. That's what we need to do, is to realize that we're serving a live Jesus. And we're serving one that's alive forevermore. And that great word of God, that meat that he gives us, is alive. And it's what lives in us. For he said, if that same spirit lived in Christ that lives in you, it shall resurrect you. I'm telling you, you're going to get excited tonight and really happy about this year.
Amen. So what the two words that we want to leave with you tonight about finding your divine destiny is learning that patience is a good thing and that we walk this walk in faith.
Remember, when Pam and I are on this broadcast, we're doing it in faith, believing God, and we're just reaching out for you. We're ministers of the gospel, and we love you. And we just want to let you know this is the greatest year that you'll ever see for the saint of God. And if you're not a Christian tonight, you need to become a Christian. You need to find a good church and a Bible-believing church and get in it and serve the Lord. Work with God, and God will work with you. I want to leave you this one thought, is that go with God, and he'll go with you. He won't forget you. You see, Jesus forgives and forgets. He can't even remember your sins. When you ask him to forgive you, he don't remember them ever. He's got that kind of memory. He don't remember sins. He just knows what you're doing right now. He believes in you. God believes in you. We believe in you. And Jesus is Lord.
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries. Again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. According to Numbers 6, 24 through 26.
So many times I've knelt beneath that heavy load. Well, on bending knees there to God I prayed. As I knelt there on the floor, he reminded me once more that the answer was already on the way. Oh, yes, the answer's on the way, this I know. My Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows the need before we pray. And you can rest assured the answer's on the way. Now if there's a special need within your life, my friend, and you're seeking for the answer every day, well, if by faith you'll start believing, mighty soon you'll be receiving, for the answer is already on the way. Oh, yes, the answer's on the way, this I know. My Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows the need before we pray, and you can rest assured the answer's on the way.